Good morning, best family, friends, and neighbors. Thank you all again. Good to see all of you checking in and coming in to our live podcast gathering. I've seen Linda and Deb and Jean and Corliss. Amen. Thank you all for just coming in. Some still coming in and just thankful as always that you would join us, and we are going to just glad to see that God is good and has brought us through another week. Amen. And God has been good to us, and we know He's on the throne. Sister Busby, we see you coming in, and so many more of you. We're going to let Cheryl come and pray for us now. Pray with her. As believers, we should always pray with people as they come forth and lead us in prayer. Don't just let them pray by themselves. So we pray that as she prays, all of us will join in and be praying along with her. Okay, so.
Hey, man, God, you are a good God, and you are most worthy to be praised on this morning. You have provided this week. You have protected this week. And we pause to say thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you on this morning. Now, God, as we come before your throne on this morning, we recognize that something we've done or said this week has not been pleasing unto you. And so, God, we want to present ourselves to you now as a living sacrifice. And so we want to be holy and acceptable in your sight. So we pray, God, you will cleanse us now from all unrighteousness, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us so we can worship you today in spirit and in truth. God, we recognize this morning that we never would have made it this far without you. So we give you praise and glory and honor on this morning. Speak to us through your word in a great way today, God. So many need a touch from you today. We pray for the Bethsaida family and all of the church families that are open today on podcasts, on social media. God, that your word go forth in power and in might, that your healing touch, God, would be real today for somebody, God, that your comforting touch, that your encouragement, God, would be available today for somebody that needs, God, even those that are in the financial situation that need a breakthrough from you, God. All good and perfect gifts come from you, and you're God enough to meet every need that is on this call on today. So we thank you that you are more than enough and that you provide what we need on today. And through your word, mainly, God, speak to us a word of hope, a word of healing, and a word of strength. And as we leave on today, those that came weak will discover on today through your word that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise and glory and honor. Use your son, God, to give you glory and honor, God. Let it not be about him. Let it be all about you. You increase on this podcast on today, that your people, Father God, will be blessed, that we be strengthened and encouraged and even changed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl, for that prayer. And we're going to get into the word of God this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 25 through verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. When you find it, it reads, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen. We praise God for that passage of scripture that we're going to try to share with you in an exposition and try to just give you some enlightenment or some light, or maybe all of you that are, even maybe some of you that are acquainted, just remind you through these verses of God's goodness to us. I want to entitle this message, "Don't You Worry About a Thing." Don't you worry about a thing. I remember being in college freshman. And as a college freshman, it's a new environment, new challenges, sometimes can become somewhat stressful and sometimes you worry a little bit about if you're going to be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And sometimes the courses are more difficult than you anticipated. Well, during my freshman year, I often went into the library from time to time. Lots of times I would study and do research. But from sometimes it was just to go over to a section they had where they had various recordings and albums. And on occasions, many occasions, just to relax and to chill for a while, I would go into there and get one of the vinyl albums out and put it on the turntable. And one of the ones that I often listened to was one of Stevie Wonder's albums called Inner Vision. It won Album of the Year in 1973. And one of the songs on that album was Don't You Worry About a Thing. And basically it's kind of set in a way where Stevie is in the song is addressing his lady friend, and she's trying to discover her path in the world, and she's exploring the world for herself, and he's telling her to not be afraid to discover the world for herself, but to go out and courageously discover her world and find what God would have her to do, or what she would, her purpose and plan. And he said, don't worry about a thing, because I'll be right there by your side while you try to work it all out. And in other words, he was saying, I think if we put it in biblical language, and especially as it pertains to covenant relationships, he was saying, I got you covered. But I think the way he meant it is, I don't have you covered like you would. And I've said this before, I don't have you covered in the sense that you would cover a jar with a lid that's limiting. But I have you covered in a way that you can courageously explore the world and find out what God has for you, because I have you covered like an umbrella. And the higher you go, I'm still with you. I'm there to support you and to cover you. And as I thought about that today, I was thinking about the fact that way before that song was ever thought of, God, amen, was saying the same thing to us. Jesus is saying the same thing to us today, to his bride, amen, to the church, which is the bride of Christ. He's saying to the bride of Christ, you can courageously pursue the kingdom agenda. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry, because I'm right there by your side as you go out and make disciples. He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. I got you. I got your back. I'm right beside you. To whatever you go through, I'm glad there's a God that's right there as we pursue his kingdom agenda. So he's saying, don't you worry about a thing. I can hear God saying that through the scripture. Now, let's look at about three things. Now there's a difference between a legitimate concern and worry. We need to have concerns. We need to be concerned about the health and well-being and of our families and friends and our community and our nation. We need to have concerns and to try to work to address where we can live in a just and righteous place. that we need to have concerns, but it's the difference between a concern and worry. When I was driving one time, and all of a sudden, I was driving kind of a car that was new to me, and all of a sudden a light came on. I couldn't understand what that light was for, and it said traction, and it's kind of, I think that that traction system, if your car has that, is made for driving in difficult weather and snowy terrains and whatever, to kind of give you a little bit more ability to control it. But you're not supposed to drive your car every day with traction on. It's hard on the car. Amen. And a lot of times in life, just like your car can be stuck on traction, sometimes we can get wary. The best way I try to describe worry is you're stuck on distraction. When you're trying to pursue God's destiny and God's plan and God's purpose for you, sometimes there are things that happen in life, in their climates in our life, things that happen in the world around us and in our culture, that distract us from our destination. And a worry is a distraction that your mind just keeps chasing down. No matter how hard you try to focus on your day-to-day task and doing things for God, seems like this is a distraction that continuously is calling for your attention. Sometimes it's such a difficult distraction that one is unable to sleep at night, because even when you're trying to sleep peacefully, that distraction will wake you up out of your sleep. That's what worry is. Worry is when you are stuck on that difficult distraction that causes you panic and stress. It's not made for us to live like that constantly. Stuck on distraction. It's worry. But now our Lord gives us, as we begin in verse 25, listen. Well, the first thing I want to talk about, as I'm talking about trying to share this idea about don't you worry about a thing, is the rule. He gives us a rule. I said, firstly, he gives us a rule. Look at verse 25. In the beginning of verse 25, we see the rule. He says, therefore, I say to you, our Lord talking, do not worry about your life. That's the rule, y'all. Do not worry about your life. But now, you know, sometimes when we're trying to highlight something in the Bible, we have the highlight markers, or we have a pen, or put a star by it, or a question mark, or an exclamation point. But God often highlights passages and things that he wants us to remember and to stick out. He highlights it by what I like to call a three-peat. You sit within a passage three times. Now, listen, in verse 25, he said, therefore, I say to you, the command is, and the rule is, do not worry about your life. Then look again at verse 31, the beginning of verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. But that's not all. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry. That's the three-peat. Whenever you see a three-peat, as one studies scripture, God is trying to highlight an idea. He highlights this idea and this rule and says, don't worry about a thing. It's highlighted. It's there three times. God is trying to get you to see it. He's trying to put emphasis on this idea of not worry. Don't worry, because number one, worry don't work. Worry is not a successful endeavor. If you look at verse 27, It shows us this idea. He kind of challenges and said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, if you worry about the cubit is approximately 18 inches, he said, you can worry about that all day and all night, but you're not going to add anything to your life. You're not going to add any days to your life, any minutes to your days. You're not going to add to your life by worrying. As a matter of fact, you take away from life by worrying. Worrying is not a successful endeavor. It's not a good investment of one's time and one's diligence. Worry is waste because you could be doing something else. Don't worry about your life. That's the rule. That's the rule. Don't forget the rule. Don't worry about your life because worry don't work. Okay? But now, not only that, I'm going to add some other because first thing, I told you about the rule, but now let's get to the reason. I talked about the rule, but now let's go to the reason why we ought not worry. It's right here. Look at verse 26. He says, now, don't worry about, let me go back just a little bit. Say, don't worry about eating. Don't worry about what you drink. Don't worry about your body. We're going to put on. Because life is more than that. Life is more than that. Then he gets to 26. And he said, now, if you want to know the reason why I'm commanding you and giving you a rule not to worry, it could be found. But one of the things I need you to do, I need you to do some bird watching. If you want to learn, if you want to know why not to worry, I need you to do a little bird watching. You see in verse 20, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow. I've never seen a bird with a plow, or a bird working in a garden, or a bird raising cattle. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not more valuable than they? Listen to what he's saying. If you bird watch, you know, some things you're never going to see a bird do or a bird have. I've never seen a bird with a freezer to save food. He doesn't have a pantry. I've never seen a bird apply for a credit card or a payday loan. I've never seen a bird go to a counselor because he was stressed. But somehow, every day, he's fed by our Heavenly Father. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus is saying, even though you'll never see a bird doing the things I've just shared with you, but yet every day, and I'm saying that a bird do work, they're resourceful, but you never see him on a psychiatrist's couch saying, help me understand. Because he knows somehow that he's going to eat. There's a source, and that source is going to take care of. Now, a lot of times, the reason why we worry is because we get confused. And I get confused, and I know maybe some of you do too, because we get confused and between the source and the resource. There's a difference between the source and the resource. Sometimes we'll think our resource is our source. Y'all hear me? We'll think our resource, our job, the grocery store. We'll think our resource is our source, our Social Security check, or whatever retirement check we may get. We'll think our resource is a source, but A resource is just something God uses to give us what we need. But he's ultimately the source. And a lot of times what happens when you get your source and resource mixed up, you'll start thinking about what you're getting more than you do the giver. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Don't, when you get that confused, that resource and source mixed up, amen, your focus will be on what you're getting more than the giver. The giver is your source. You won't worry if you keep your focus on the giver and not on the resource. Not on what you're getting, because the giver is so powerful and so mighty, he can give, he can change resources. When you think your resource ain't gonna work, he said, well, I can use another resource. I got plenty of resources I can use. You just gotta know that I'm the source. I got resources you don't even know they are your resources yet. I got resources next door to you, resources down the street, resources, all kinds of resources. But you're so focused on that one resource that you've been depending on, you done made that resource your source. Don't get confused, my brothers and sisters. God is the source of our life. He must be our source. And that'll help us to, with his power, to obey the rule, don't worry. Now, he argues this argument. He makes this argument based on going from the lesser to the greater, which is one of the ways they argue in scripture. Sometimes you go from the lesser to the greater, or the greater to the lesser. And I think they have, in rhetoric, they have names for those, but they're kind of difficult to pronounce. But that's what he's arguing, from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, if God will feed and clothe birds and flowers, and don't you know your father? Because we got a the bird don't have a father-child relationship with him. The plant don't have a father-child relationship. So if he'll feed those minor things that he don't have, don't you know he will take care, the father will take care of his children? Because he's the source. If you got a good father, amen. I'm quite sure when President Obama was in the White House, Sasha and Malia, they weren't worried about what they were going to eat, because they had a father that was in charge, and he was just in charge of a nation. Our God is in charge of the whole universe. He will provide. He's the source of everything we need. He said, if he'll take care of the birds and the plants, you know, those are the lesser things. Don't you know he'll take care of his own child? Story was told, and I just kind of help you catch hold of that concept. A man that went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I'm really having struggle trying to make this thing financially. Could you come out to the house? Maybe we can have a sit down and you can kind of talk and help me. And the pastor went out to the house and saw the house. Had a somewhat nice house, but it was kind of, because of the man, maybe financially, just everything was kind of out of order. It was kind of, wasn't as kept up as it should be. But right in the middle of that, he had this beautiful, beautiful aquarium with all kinds of exotic fishes. And it was just a beautiful aquarium. It was the nicest thing in the house. And he talked to a man, he complimented the pastor, and said, man, that's really a nice aquarium, nice fish. And the man said, oh yeah, it's really nice. And see, it cost me about $1,000 a month to keep that aquarium up and the fish fed and everything. And then about, wow, pastor, I think about $1,000 a month. And then he went over, amen, and to sit down at the table, and all of a sudden the kids came out and they was all talking, and the kids were talking about how hungry they were and they had to go without food sometime. And then the man and the pastor, wait a minute, the fish are fed and the children are not. And when we look at them, my brothers and sisters, and that's just a fictitious story, but I'm trying to say that God, our Father, is like that. We think that God is going to feed the fish before he feed us. This text is saying, yes, if he'll take care of the birds of the earth and the flowers, don't you know God will take care of you too? That's the reasoning that I want you to see. So you don't have to worry. God will take care of you. Oh, he will. He'll do it. He'll do it. Now, so we've seen the rule, and then we've also began to look at the reason. We watched the bird because he took a bird watching, and we've watched the bird and see what they was all about. And then, listen, I'm going to go down to one. I need to go down to it now while we're on this. If you look down to verse 34, says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now what Jesus is saying there is this. Listen, you cannot empty tomorrow of its sorrows. We're trying to empty tomorrow of its sorrow. He said, you can't empty tomorrow of its sorrows by worrying, but only thing you're doing is emptying today of its strength. Did y'all catch that? Worry tries to empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but you only end up emptying today of its strength. So don't worry about tomorrow. Be focused. Amen. And stay. Do not worry, because there are reasons worrying does not work. If we can just get that through out here. Don't worry, does not work. That's the God we say. So don't you worry about a thing. That's what he said. Don't you worry about a thing. Know who your source is. And your source has unlimited resources. See, you're only looking at one or two resources, but God has unlimited ways that he can get you what you need. You think the job you got now is the only way you can get to what you need? Oh, no. Oh, no, no. And a lot of times, when you start thinking that, you start thinking that that job is your God, because you put that job as your soul. And sometimes he'll have to move you from that job. And I'll say, the job wasn't your soul. I'm your soul. I can be your soul with the job, with that. I can get your job better than the job you had and be your soul. Or I can get your job worse than the job you had. You ain't making enough money, but you got more peace, and I can bless you in a different way. You don't know what I can do. All I need you to do is just know that I'm your source, and don't you worry about a thing. I'll be standing there beside you, taking care of you, watching over. You are not in this thing by yourself. Don't you worry about a thing. Now, let me put that. Remember what I told you a while ago about the three people, when God is trying to emphasize something. And he does the same thing with this Father feeds them thing, or God the Father feeding us. Verse 26, look at the bird of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn. Yet your heavenly Father, that's the soul. He's trying to make sure you know. I think he's kind of does it three times to let you know who the source is. I don't want them to miss who the source is. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, in verse 30, now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Let me just touch on that for a second. He said, now, when you look at the grass, the day it is, but tomorrow we're going to use it in the oven for heat. It's going to be gone. The grass is temporary. The grass is passing, but God knows his children are permanent and eternal. if, amen, he's willing to clothe that which is passing. Don't you know he'll clothe that which is permanent? Because it has far more value because it has eternalness attached to it. We'll be with him forever. So he cares way more if you clothe the grass. Don't you know he cares way more about us that's going to live with him throughout eternity than he does about grass that's going to be burned up? Is that lesser to greater and greater and less argument that he's trying to use to show you? But now it's going back. He said in verse 26 that he's the Father. Now in verse 30, now if God, y'all see that? Now if God so clothed the grass, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he, meaning God, meaning the Heavenly Father, will he not much more clothe you, oh, your little faith? That's the second time he says that. Now look at 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles, now, you know the Gentiles, that's those that don't believe in God. That's the atheists. You can see why the atheists ought to be worried. Because they don't believe there's a God there to stand by. But now listen to what it says. For after all these things, verse 32, the Gentiles seek, they're worried about the food, the drink, clothing. But now 32, but the last part is for your heavenly Father. That's the third time he talked about one time as God, then he goes on to say, and then he talked about two times heavenly Father, but it's always a source, whether it's heavenly Father or God, in these three instances, he's pointing out that I am the source. And I'm not just any kind of source. I'm a loving source, and I'm your source. And because I'm your source, I'm a great source, because not only are you just part of the universe, but you're my child. So we got a relationship. And if I'm a good father, I ain't no deadbeat father. So since I'm a good father, I'm going to be the source. You can depend on me to be the source of what you need. Hey. God says, the rule is, don't worry about a thing. The reason is, because you got a source who's your father, you have a relationship with. And if he can take care of birds and flowers, if he can feed birds, take care of flowers, if he can feed lesser and take care of lesser, don't you know how great you are in his eyes? He's not a father that's going to feed the fish before he feeds the children. Lastly, we looked at the rule. We looked at the reason. Now I want to look at what I want to call the recourse. A recourse is a source of help in difficult situations. And God is saying, after he said, now, don't you worry about a thing, because I'm your source. But then he said, rather than worry, let me get the verse. Do not worry. Verse 33. Rather than worry, then we see a contrast. But don't worry, because I told you don't worry. I'm your source. But rather than worrying, listen to what you need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on you. Y'all hear that? Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, make the priority of your life. I think Cheryl earlier this year preached about keeping God first, the importance of keeping God first. Make God the priority of your life and pleasing him. Make his agenda. Make all those things his agenda and pleasing him. Be an example and a forerunner in a world where he reigns. So if you want him to reign in the world, first people need to see him reign in our lives where we'll please him. And he reigns in righteousness, that righteous reign that's going one day take over everything that left needs to begin in our life today. We need to seek that every day for him, amen, to please him, to obey him, to submit ourselves to him. We need to be seeking about being kingdom men, kingdom women, kingdom husband, kingdom wife, kingdom disciple maker, raising kingdom children for God that we can deploy to change the world with kingdom purpose and know God's kingdom plan for their life. He said, now, when you make that your focus, because worry don't work, so rather than worry work. Worry don't work, so rather than worry work. Work on bringing about God's kingdom on earth. Be involved in bringing God's kingdom, God's reign into individual lives by discipling them. Make that your passion. Make that, because worry is going to distract you from that. But now, if you will make that your passion, pleasing God, God's kingdom, being part of God, being the kind of person that God would have you to be in every dimension, and not working in your own energy, I'm saying now, but working as the Spirit empowers you and working to make the world a better place, a more just and a more righteous place. Be concerned about the condition we were in, but don't just worry about it. Put work into it. Try to find ways to make the world a better place. And it can begin by you just loving people. Nobody, amen. If anytime the world needs love now. People need love now. So we can begin by just showing love to people. It don't cause you nothing to show love, just give a loving embrace or a loving smile or a loving word of encouragement to somebody. Just show love in the way we treat one another. Loving, listening ear. God wants us to be kingdom oriented and trying to please him and letting him be king. We need that kingdom focus. And he said, now, once you get that kingdom focus, once you're letting him be king and you focus on just obeying him and pleasing him and bringing about and bringing others into the kingdom and changing your community one disciple at a time, oh, God says, then I'll add the other stuff. Ooh. See, if you try, what we try to do, what we want to do, we want to do our own thing and then have God to add a little kingdom. Mm-mm. God, let me live like I want to live, do what I want to do, spend my money what I want to spend it on. Then can you add me a little kingdom on so I won't have to spend eternity separated from God? No, he said, first prioritize kingdom. And then I add, you don't have to worry. If you prioritize kingdom, I'll take care of the food. I'll take care of the shelter. I'll take care of your needs. I'll take care of the clothing. I'll give you what you need. If you prioritize kingdom. That's why. And some of your older saints know that. Some of the young ones ain't quite caught on yet, but the older saints know that. Because the older saints, amen, I'm glad that we have some older saints in our congregation and the main ones that you can depend on to support the church. They might be fixed and fixed income. They don't have a whole lot coming in. But, oh, they're going to be the first one that's going to say, hey, I'm going to give that holy tenth unto the Lord. I'm going to give it out of my limited check. I'm going to support God's program. And I'm trying to, because they prioritize God. Now, I'm not saying it's not all about, I'm talking about you prioritize with just the way you live your life and the energy you bring to God's kingdom and making God's kingdom bless. But I'm just using that as an example. When they prioritize by giving that tenth that's holy unto the Lord, you'll always have a roof over your head. You'll always have food on the table. They'll always have what they need because when you prioritize God, God come through for you every time. Because you were looking for that job when you found that one. And God gave you that one. And the same God that gave you that one will give you another one. Because that's the kind of God he is. Oh, don't you be like the world. Don't you be like the Gentile. They worry about that thing. But don't you worry about a thing, because God is looking at you and said, I want you to courageously go out and try to build my kingdom and make disciples and live your life for me. And I'll be right there, like Stephen said to the girl, I'll be right there by your side. When you need me, I'll step in and I'll take care of you. I'll work things together for your good. I'll never leave you, not forsake you. Amen. If you prioritize me, I heard Paul saying that he's able if you prioritize him. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, my God, he's able. Amen. If you prioritize, he will take care of you. Prioritize me. Because he's able. Listen, I'm about finished. I'm about to cut it off right here. We're going to bring on a little song to kind of close out. But listen, if you out there, as Gabby prepared the song, if you out there in podcast land and you listening to us this morning, I just want to challenge you today. I just want to challenge you, because I think God want me to challenge you. He say, hey, prioritize the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and I'll give you everything that you need. He's able. He's able to keep you from falling. He's an able God, and he's a wonderful God. Amen. We'll come here to selection, then we'll share a couple more things with you before we close out today. Let's listen carefully. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't no need to worry. And God has told us, hey, don't you worry about a thing. One thing I want to share, I'm going to share a couple of things. One thing I want to share before, I just want to thank all of you that gave to the Warren Hawkins Food Drive. We had planned, our goal was to provide with knowing that every dollar that we gave end up being processed as 2.5 pounds of food. We wanted to give 1,250 pounds of food. But because y'all were so generous and y'all love God so much and God's people, we weren't able to just do that 1,250 pounds. Y'all got to give it and y'all just kind of overdid it. So we was able to give 3,000 pounds. So y'all were just overly generous. So we appreciate your generous hearts. And amen, we was able to give, I think, $1,200, and which ended up being 3,000 pounds of food for Caritas and Anita through the Warren Hawkins Food Drive. So we certainly appreciate y'all being so generous and just outdoing yourself. Now, thing about that, y'all know every year we try to go up, so we got to get ready for next year. Amen. We thank God for y'all being so amazingly generous. Also, another point we want to make, I got some of you kind of texted in, probably Cheryl's text line, and you said one of the pastor's illustration implied that we should not seek out counseling or therapy as believers. And that wasn't my intent. I wasn't talking about, I was just trying to, my main focus was up on the fact that the things that often lead us to counseling, stress, overstress, over-worrying that wears our bodies down and causes some mental issues. I was talking about more about the source. If we probably, if we weren't as stressed, we may not have to go, because the birds don't have to go because they're not that stressed. But I am an advocate and of counseling, because especially being African-Americans, we grew up with post-traumatic stress disorder just from living in some of the neighborhoods that we live in, and coming up in poverty, and with all the things that happen between blacks often and authority figures and the police departments, often because of all those issues and the crime and the shootings and things that we grew up in our neighborhood and in our families and a lot of the dysfunction, not only our people, but all people. But I think especially because of historically, some of the stuff we face historically, many of us need counseling. And especially if we can get counselors that are biblically oriented and share with you. So we certainly support that and encourage you, you know, to get over it and have better families and better marriages and better churches. That if you have an issues in it, we encourage you to get help there with whatever addiction or issue you may have. There's no shame in it. There's no shame. It's just like going to the hospital when you break a finger or you have a broken limb or some kind of injury. It's just a mental, it's not a physical injury, it's a mental or emotional injury, and you need a doctor of another type to help you with that. So if you got that particular meaning, that wasn't what we were saying. We were just trying to say that the reason why, because they don't have any stress, amen, and I'm hoping that we can continue to kind of de-escalate the times we were in our areas of stress and worry, so that particular area won't be sending us to the counselor so much. But if it does, they're always there to help. Sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's just you need medication because of even chemical imbalances that may be with you. So that's not what I mean, not for believers or Christians to go to counseling, because some of the more healthiest are the most healthiest and well-balanced and intelligent and growing believers that I know are people that go to counseling. So we encourage you that if you feel the Lord leading you, feel like there's something you need, be sure to take a hand of it. But ain't no need, I just wanted to tell you, ain't no need to worry, because sometimes worry will have to make you want to go. And if you can just kind of get rid of that worrying component, you may not have to go there for that particular aspect of your life. So let's thank y'all again for everything and for being so generous and prayer. And thank y'all for being so generous. We, like I said, as we get close to the end of the year, we probably will have a record setting year as full as generosity just in support of the church, even though we haven't met every Sunday. But those of you have supported the church to a point that we may break a record even in that. So I want to be just thank you for being so generous, even though we are not meeting at the church every Sunday throughout the year. We missed a lot of Sundays, but you didn't let, just because you weren't there and we missed Sunday, you didn't stop providing for the ministry and providing for God to do work through us. And we've given to a lot of the charities that we would share with you. We'll probably try to have a business meeting next month somehow. Maybe through Zoom, because most of the time it's only about 10 or 15 of you when it comes in. Hopefully we have more, but we can probably easily do that on Zoom. All right. We're going to be praying for Mario. That, as you, if you didn't hear, she's having surgery. So we can be praying for God to give her the great doctors. And he would also watch over and aid her in healing progress. And it'd just be a great, it'd be the best medical treatment that he can provide, because he's a great God. All right, let me see. I think we're about ready to time out. Thank y'all again for coming and listening. And for those of you that may not be with us live but will listen to this later on, we're still working on, we haven't forgot about, we're still working on trying to do the live with the video. We had one camera, we had to send it back. Now we got another camera. We're just trying to work on getting it all together and getting all the things together on the with YouTube and our website providers and getting all that cooked. It's really process, takes a lot of things. So we're trying to get it. We got the equipment. Now just getting it to work all together with all the electronics and technical stuff. So hopefully we'll have it. I hope we can have it next week. Maybe we can put Cheryl on when she does the fifth Sunday message for y'all. So they'll be praying for us, and we'll see. And pray for our nation as things are, as far as the pandemic seem to be kind of amping up. So just try to be being prayed for that and all the other things that are going on and that God, we need God help with. So, all right, y'all have a great day. Enjoy your day and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and he'll give you everything else that you really need. What a great God we serve. Thank you for being such a great people. Have a great week.